This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Today we continue with our study of the great Bible topic of marriage, and in particular the fact that the marriage vow is to be taken by people who are mature emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. It is not for the immature. We've already spent several days in looking at characteristics of people who are immature, and also we have looked at some of the characteristics of mature people. Last time we had been engaged in the study of the fact that one of the marks of being a mature person is to have a truly Christian attitude toward the sexual relationship. And I continue without repeating what I'd said last time with that topic. There are those who think that they're being a sort of what might be termed smart when they look upon the sexual relationship with an air of sophistication. Some people, and among them must be numbered college professors, philosophers, and some religious leaders, claim that what two adults or persons do in this matter is strictly their own business, whether they're married or not married. But the Bible teaches that God will judge adulterers. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, Revelation chapter 21, and verse 8. The Bible makes clear that such people not only face eternal punishment if they do not repent of it and obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, but the Bible also makes clear that they bring utter misery upon themselves in this life. The testimony of those who have so lived is manifest proof of this. As such people have told of their misdeeds, they have pointed out that such a life did not bring happiness. It did not bring the happiness which they thought it would when they set out upon it. Compare, if you will, the feelings of Adam and Eve after they ate of the forbidden fruit with their feelings before they ate of it. To live in disobedience to God, no matter what phase of life it may involve, is to bring sorrow down upon one's head. As the Bible makes clear, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6 and 23. Imagine, according to the record of Luke 15, the feelings of the young man who got his inheritance from his father and went into a far country to throw it away in riotous living. Imagine the great anticipation, the joy that he thought would be his to go into that far country and live in a riotous way, and yet to find him reduced to eating the food that was given to the hogs. This is the kind of thing that we find after sin as over against the anticipation we have of it before we're involved in sin. Marriage counselors and physicians tell us that almost 50% of the married women who come to their offices never, almost never, get any pleasure whatever out of the sexual relationship. Are such people happy? Decidedly not. In fact, those who should know, by reason of their scientific affiliation, claim that such a relationship in the home can lead, and usually does, to emotionally caused illness. They actually become physically ill. Is this as God would have it? Of course it isn't. But when marriage partners are immature, when they are still childish in their attitudes and relations with one another, little else could be expected. Physicians further tell us that so-called frigidity in women is many times the fault of a thoughtless and selfish husband. Some women, in talking with marriage counselors and physicians, have complained that after marriage their husbands have thought of nothing but themselves. Such is emotional immaturity manifesting itself in physical intimacy. When two people are emotionally and spiritually mature, they recognize that tenderness, love, unselfishness, and other such qualities should manifest themselves in intimate life and thus render the sexual relationship a means of enriching life and contributing in a large way to their pleasure during life here on this earth. The same attributes which mark a person as being mature in other phases of his life also mark him as mature in his sexual life. This means that tenderness, kindness, sympathy, and understanding must underlie and motivate the physical intimacy of husband and wives as well as passion. Mature Christian men and women do not seek to gain their happiness at the expense of their companion. Neither will look upon the other as a mere tool to the satiation of lust, but will recognize it to be a relationship which should help both to come closer to God as well as closer to one another. But our time is gone today. Please be back with us tomorrow as we continue this very important study.